It's a special edition of Essential Pittsburgh, looking back, looking ahead, 2014-2015, the events that shaped our year and our future. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and as we continue this program, we spend this segment looking at the events that shaped the year in the state of Pennsylvania and our region. The man who has been covering those events for the Patriot News and Penn Live is John Misick, who is editorial page editor, and he joins us now on the phone from Harrisburg. John Misick, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you? I'm doing pretty well.
It's probably an obvious answer, but what would you say was the main event, the top news story of 2014 for the state of Pennsylvania?
Well, if you can't look any farther than the election of Democrat Tom Wolf, who would become the first candidate in decades, to break the fabled 8-year rule that it seems sitting governors served a maximum of two four-year terms. Mr. Wolf kind of came roaring out of no place at the beginning of the year to become the guy who beat Tom Corbett. It was a pretty extraordinary story arc, made all the more incredible by the fact that he was one of the few Democrats to have a good day at the polls the last November 4th, the year that was pretty good for Republicans.
Was this something that you could have predicted a year ago?
Everyone knew that Tom Corbett was going to be vulnerable going into the 2014 cycle. I mean, that much was evident. His approval numbers were in the basement. But I don't know that anyone thought that, you know, he was going to be defeated. Everyone thought, well, God, you know, no matter how miserable it is, Pennsylvanians are a hidebound and traditional lot, and they always keep the guy they know compared to the one they don't. And they didn't. The funny thing about Wolf was, you know, we talked to him at the Pennsylvania Society Gala in New York earlier this month. And everyone asked him, well, what's the difference to being in New York this year as compared to 2013? And this year he said, everybody knows who I am. And, you know, that was really the case. You know, when Tom Wolf declared for governor back in 2013, I had to remind myself of who the guy was. It's like, oh, right, that's the guy who worked for Ed Rendell for about an hour in 2006. And he leaped out of the Democratic nominating process last February with this huge buy of very sophisticated and very slick-looking television ads, jumped to the front of the primary pack, and never let go.
And so now he takes over as governor. One of the things that he's been doing lately is touring the state and talking about the budget deficit, how far in the hole the state is, how difficult it's going to be to dig out of it. It's his way, apparently, of saying that Tom Corbett created this situation. I'm Tom Wolf, and I'm the guy that's inheriting it, but it's not my fault.
It's kind of like having a Smiths record stuck on repeat in your car CD player for days and days and days. And, you know, he's been going around the state with this message of economic doom and gloom. And much like Tom Corbett did when he took office, you know, he's blaming on the guy before him. In Corbett's case, it was Ed Rendell's fault. In Tom Wolf's case, it was Tom Corbett's fault, continuing a historic pattern. You know, the difference being, of course, is that Mr. Wolf will face half the deficit that Governor Corbett faced when he came into office in 2011, the $4.2 billion structural deficit facing Governor Corbett when he came into office. It's a 1.8 to 2-point-something billion-dollar deficit facing Mr. Wolf as he comes in on January 20th.
And how big of a challenge will it be for him to whittle that deficit down? And how much does it matter at this point?
Well, it matters because Pennsylvania is required by law to have a balanced budget. You can't do deficit spending. That's banned by the state constitution, so they have to find the coin to do it. What's going to matter is the way they go about it. The budget for fiscal 2014-2015, which ends on this coming June 30th, was notoriously patched with a lot of one-time revenue sources. That's kind of like the pizza guy arrives and you're short a couple of bucks, so you're running around upending the couch cushions and emptying the piggy banks so you can find money plus tip to make sure you pay him. That approach is no longer operative. So the challenge facing Mr. Wolf is finding some sort of recurring revenue to put the state on sounder financial footing. And one of the ways he wants to do that is by imposing a severance tax on natural gas drillers.
Love that analogy. So if the future's so bad, you know, what does that say about the mindset of the Pennsylvania electorate? They voted Tom Wolf in. They broke from historical voting patterns to put him in office. What does that say about what the people of the state want?
Well, they clearly didn't like what Tom Corbett was doing. I mean, let's face it, every election is a referendum on the incumbent. And you look at the poll numbers for Governor Corbett for months and months and months, they were parked at about 30%. You know, worse than Tom Ridge in his first term, worse than Ed Rendell in his first term. And everyone's walking around saying, well, the poll numbers have to move, right? They're going to move. They've got to move. Well, the poll numbers are definitely, and they never did. That spoke to the deep dissatisfaction that voters had with Governor Corbett's leadership style and his management, and really the fact that, you know, despite being a fairly decent guy, Governor Corbett was never really able to explain or sell his policies to the majority of the electorate, which means his opponents got to do that for him.
But now Corbett is gone. He is no longer the problem. He may be part of the problem, but going forward, it's Tom Wolf's decision-making that is going to determine the future course for Pennsylvanians. So what is it that people in the state are looking for now? If they gave him a mandate, what is that mandate intending for him to do?
Well, more than anything else, this was a race about jobs and the economy and schools. And schools, to a greater extent than I think I've ever seen in the decade and a half that I've been writing about Pennsylvania politics. The narrative under Governor Corbett, for right or wrong, was that this is the guy who cut $1 billion out of public education in the state, and you can have that argument all day long about whether or not that actually happened. Corbett's partisans will say no, his critics will say yes. But parents went into schools, they saw cut programs, they saw larger classes, they saw teachers getting laid off. And if you're a parent, you don't really care about the how or the why of how that happens. You care that your kid's being affected. And Governor Wolf came and said, elect me, I'll fix the schools, I'll make the public schools a better place. And that's a place that hits every Pennsylvanian where they live in a real and palpable way. I mean, that was one of the central issues of this campaign. And you're absolutely right. It's Wolf's economy now. It's Wolf's problem now. He beat the guy that you can argue caused it all, but the way he fixes it is going to be all entirely on him.
Tom Corbett, as Attorney General, even before he became governor, as AG, under Ed Rendell, he was one of those state attorneys general who sued to overturn Obamacare, as many call it. And he made it quite clear that he was never going to accept the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. Tom Wolf is now coming in. What will he do with what he's inheriting from Governor Corbett in terms of a health plan?
Yeah, well, you know, Governor Corbett famously did sue as Attorney General to have the Affordable Care Act overturned on constitutional grounds. That didn't work, so what he ended up doing was seeking sort of a middle ground where he would put the uninsured into the private market. He called it Healthy PA. Some of his critics jokingly called it Corbett Care. And as we sit here today, the open enrollment period for Healthy PA has ended, and the state is beginning to move those who are without coverage into private plans. The punchline being, of course, is that when Governor-elect Wolf comes into office, his intention is to undo all of that and to move the state into the full expansion of Medicaid as authorized by Obamacare. How the mechanics of that are going to work is anyone's guess. Governor Corbett had to go to Washington and get all kinds of waivers from the Department of Health and Human Services to get his program enacted. You know, Governor-elect Wolf is going to come in and embrace the full expansion. In New York and Pennsylvania society, Governor Corbett was telling anyone who would listen that it's going to cost to the millions of dollars for Governor-elect Wolf to unravel that particular knot. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
We are talking with John Micek, who is editorial page editor of the Patriot News in Harrisburg, here on this special edition of Essential Pittsburgh, looking back, looking ahead, 2014-2015. The events that shaped our year and our future, and in particular in Pennsylvania and the region in this particular segment. The legislature of at the Pennsylvania State Capitol is still largely controlled by Republicans. They still have retained a majority in the House and Senate. We have a Democratic governor. How do you see the chemistry there working between Wolf and these legislators, many of whom do not agree with some of the policies that he's proposing?
Yeah, I mean, not only are they Republican majorities, they're expanded Republican majorities to the previous legislative session. In the House, the Republicans have their biggest majority in years. The Senate's back to 30-20, which is the majority enjoyed for years and years and years. So it's going to be, and the Senate just recently elected some more conservative leadership. You have a moderate Dave Reed from Western Pennsylvania, who's the new House majority leader, might be easier for the administration to work with, but you get some pretty ideological guys in Jake Corman, the new Senate Majority Leader, and Joe Scarnati, the long-serving Senate President pro temp. So it's going to be difficult. You know, Senator Corman has said that they'll work with the new administration, but they certainly won't just rubber stamp everything that's coming down the road, particularly, as we mentioned earlier, in the matters of raising long-term revenue. Senator Corman has said the state's got to turn around some kind of pension reform package before he'll even entertain the idea of raising new taxes or imposing new taxes. Governor-elect Wolf says he hopes to trade on his experience in the private sector as a business leader, doing negotiations and reaching consensus. But being in charge of a Fortune 500 company where everyone says, yes, sir, and if you ask how blue the sky is, they say it's a deep, rich shade of blue. These guys are different. You know, they're long-serving, they're deeply entrenched, and they don't do anything they don't want to do.
I want to talk about the situation involving Attorney General Kathleen Kane. This has certainly turned into one of the big stories of 2014. She is in some serious trouble right now. Explain what has happened, what she did, and what the future holds.
That's a big one to bite off. Well, we'll start with this. In 2012, Kathleen Kane, a Democrat from Scranton, outpolled both U.S. Senator Bob Casey and President Barack Obama. And it wasn't long before people were talking about her as a potential challenger to Pat Toomey in the U.S. Senate, or maybe even running for governor in 2014. Neither have come to pass. And as you said, Paul, the Attorney General finds herself in some legal hot water right now, so let's try to unpack that. A grand jury in Montgomery County just wrapped up its investigation of whether Attorney General Kane violated grand jury secrecy rules when, in another court proceeding, allegedly leaked confidential information to embarrass a political opponent. The grand jury is looking at that. Are there any number of options available to it? No one really knows what's going to happen, but if she comes out at the wrong end of that politically, it can be very, very, politically and legally, it can be very, very damaging to her. But again, no one really knows what's going to happen with the grand jury. There's some sort of ruling is expected any day now. Coming up on that, last week in Philadelphia, the district attorney over there, Seth Williams, arrested two House members from Philadelphia who have been swept up in this corruption probe that Attorney General Kane had dropped, denouncing it as unprosecutable. District Attorney Williams was fairly scornful in her handling of it. And then Congressman Brady, the senior Democrat in the city and the head of the Philadelphia Democratic City Committee, said he'd lost faith in her. So politically, it had been a very damaging week for Attorney General Kathleen Kane as well, and someone who'd gone from the party's rising star and destined for bigger and better things. You know, now they're sweating out whether she'll survive her term or even, you know, she says she's going to run for re-election, but can she run and win it?
And then last but not least, another of the big stories and the last one we'll touch upon for our purposes today is Sexgate, which is hard to say with a straight face sometimes because it's such a bizarre story. But it's one that certainly was very impactful in the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, my gosh. How do you talk about that one around the dinner table? I mean, the short form is that Attorney General Kane, as she was investigating predecessor's handling of the Sandusky case at Penn State, stumbled across all of these pornographic emails that former employees of the Attorney General's office had been shooting back and forth to each other. Some of those folks went on to work for the Corbett administration. A couple of them were forced out as a consequence. And then it comes to pass that Supreme Court Justice Seamus McCaffrey was among those who've been involved in this, albeit setting up from his private computer instead of the state-owned computers that these other folks had used. And the scandal on that became such that Justice McCaffrey had to retire from the bench. It was quite an autumn, and coming on top of Justice Joan Ori Melvin's conviction on public corruption charges is another black eye that the high court didn't need, but it was a bipartisan one. You know, Joan Ori Melvin was a Republican, Justice McCaffrey was a Democrat, so I guess you could say they spread the pain around at least.
Well, certainly no shortage of interesting stories in the year 2014. We'll see what the new year of 2015 holds. John Micek, editorial page editor for the Patriot News of Harrisburg. Thanks for joining us to look back on the big events in the state and the region in the past year.
Anytime, Paul. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you, John. Coming up, we'll talk with Post-Gazette columnist Tony Norman about the events that have impacted Pittsburgh in a cultural way. That's next here on our special edition of Essential Pittsburgh, Looking Back, Looking Ahead on 90.5 WESA.